BBC Caribbean Report.
I'm Oren Gordon in Edinburgh. Commonwealth leaders are leaving town, threatening Nigeria, but promising better economic times for all.
And I'm Debbie Ransom in London, Suriname, to get a full statement on Tuesday about the details of an alleged coup plot, and Montserratians in Britain plan a massive fundraising campaign. You're listening to BBC Caribbean Report.
Commonwealth leaders are leaving at the end of their four-day summit. They left threatening the Nigerian military government with severe sanctions if credible democracy is not restored by October of next year. More importantly for Caribbean countries, the economic declaration was accepted, an attempt to give the Commonwealth a meaningful role. The BBC's diplomatic correspondent Barnaby Mason reflects on the summit's gains and losses.
The outcome reflects the difficulty of getting a 50-strong association which operates by consensus to take a coherent stance. The Canadians expressed disappointment at the decisions on Nigeria, while saying that the pressure and the deadline were clearer now than at the New Zealand summit 2 years ago, when Nigeria was suspended from the Commonwealth. It's true that drastic measures like the breaking of air links, the freezing of financial assets, and even an oil embargo are formally set out in a summit communique. But these measures are still not inevitable, even if the Nigerian military break their promise to restore democracy or install a less than credible civilian government. The very tough action proclaimed by the British Prime Minister Tony Blair is all in the future. The organisation moved into a new field by adopting an economic declaration intended to match the Statement of Principles on Democracy and Human Rights set out at Harare in 1991. Mr Blair drew a link between the two by saying they were more likely to produce stable democratic regimes if they raised people's standard of living. But the economic declaration reflects the wide differences between members of the Commonwealth, calling for freer trade and investment, but warning that poorer countries have to be protected from the effects of deregulation and globalization. Perhaps the Commonwealth slogan should be diversity in unity, rather than the other way round.
So was the summit a success for Caribbean participants, and do they believe that the Commonwealth is managing to move with the times? The answer is yes, from CARICOM Chairman Jamaican PJ Patterson.
I think it is decidedly adjusting to the new realities. The very fact that this year we have chosen as a theme trade, investment, and development, a way to Commonwealth prosperity, is indicative of a determination by the Commonwealth to discuss issues that are relevant on a timely basis and that have to go to, that go to the heart of the survival and the development of the nations within the Commonwealth and the people who are a part of this great institution.
Earlier today, I spoke with the Prime Minister of Antigua Barbuda, Lester Byrd. He sees the Commonwealth now taking into account the needs of all member countries rather than getting bogged down in the usual high-profile political issues.
Well, I think this has been a most successful CHAGM. I think everybody has said so with good reason, because as you know, we've shifted away from many of the political situations to the more substantive and practical question of trade, investment, and development. But the most important thing for countries such as mine, small developing countries, is that the conference to a great extent focused on the particular problems of small developing states, and in fact made recognition of many of the things that we had been, in a sense, arguing for. And I think it's no other organization would you have found that so much attention would have been paid to small countries, micro countries such as ours. And I think that has been the highlight of this CHAGM.
You're not saying, Prime Minister, they were wrong in the past to focus to the extent they did on restoring democracy in Nigeria and Sierra Leone?
Of course I'm not saying that, but I'm also saying that 31 of the countries in the CHAGM are designated as small countries, 31 of the 54. So obviously we recognize that there are particular matters such as Sierra Leone, such as Nigeria, which speaks to the very principles of Harare and the criteria that is required to remain in the organization, obviously those are things that must be highlighted. And that's one of the reasons why we have the Commonwealth group together. But for instance, Antigua has been advocating for at least 2 years. We brought it up first before Mr. Wolfenson at the World Bank, that there is a need for a pre- and post-disaster fund to be developed either in the World Bank or in some other institution, which takes care of problems such as the volcano in Montserrat, such as the hurricanes in the Caribbean. And we got a pretty clear definitive statement on it in the document, which says that there must be some consideration of finding some methodology of giving relief to these islands and these small countries. The whole question of global warming and sea level rise, for countries in the Pacific primarily, and even in our area, that was given special focus also. So I think these are things which speak to the question of survival of these countries and these islands, not just a question.